WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday Night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure. What
is the all-time greatest SummerSlam main event match? That is what we determine tonight on WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio Live, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTR Live. Chat if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. Stop Prime Gamers at Twitch Prime, just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. You can use creator code RocketSock in the 49ers because hashtag epic partner because Summer Batman's coming. Go buy it. Anyway, I am the producer, joined as always by the intern.
Well, we also get Summer Batman in the sprite form. So, shirtless Batman.
You get shirtless Batman. It's Summer Batman. It's all the things.
It's a thing.
it's a thing. We also have the one and only Tim Stein.
As long as I unmute my microphone, apparently I'm here. Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. It is the last day of the greatest outdoor show on earth here in Calgary, Alberta. And as soon as we're done here, I'm heading up to the hill and I'm going to watch the fireworks.
Well, there you go.
But tonight, we determine... Go ahead. Tim.
I was just going to say, greatest outdoor show on earth, also known as the Calgary Exhibition and Stampede, the $500,000 rodeo, which is a lot more than that, actually. That's all. No big deal.
There you go. With a couple weeks to SummerSlam, we figured, hey, let's have some fun on the road to SummerSlam. Next week, we're building a SummerSlam, but this week, we are talking about the all-time greatest SummerSlam main events in the history of the SummerSlam event. Before we get into it, we hit this button.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoopsie freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
No! You can follow along on the bracket at WrestleTalkRadio.com. So we have
I missed that intro.
Because we don't do this segment a lot.
No. But you know, I love putting that thing together.
It's an old one. It's a classic. Vintage, some may say.
Kind of like what I'm getting to be.
There you go. All right. So we have an abbreviated first round because there are 39 SummerSlam main events. So we're going to get through some and then have a full round to bracket. We kick off with Brock Lesnar taking on Randy Orton from SummerSlam 2016, where the WWE Championship match between John Cena and Randy Orton from SummerSlam 2007. Brent.
Okay, Cena Orton 7 was Orton working over Cena's head and neck in the lead up and in the match. Brock Randy is when Brock beat him into referee stoppage, correct?
Correct.
I'm going Brock Randy. Only because it was one of those things of like, it's like Brock versus Cena SummerSlam where he was just suplexing the shit out of him. And you're at home watching. It's slightly uncomfortable, but you're also sitting there shocked to hell. Like, am I watching this? Like, are they really like allowing this kind of mugging to happen on TV? And Randy getting busted open the hard way and bleeding profusely added that kind of like real uneasiness to it all and really kind of made Brock seem like he was a fucking animal. Cena Orton was a good match, but it was a match, and that's all it was.
What do you say, Tim?
It was a match versus destruction, pretty much. Basically, Brent more or less nailed it. I gotta agree with him.
Our destruction will move on. It is the Universal Championship match between Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns from SummerSlam 2018, or the WWF Championship match Steve Austin versus The Undertaker, SummerSlam 1998. That was Highway to Hell.
I was gonna say, that was Highway to Hell.
Yeah.
Wasn't it Taker and Kane kind of had something, but Kane didn't interfere in this, and Austin won, and Taker just kind of left the ring, and everyone's like, wait, what?
And then it was Taker, Kane standing in the aisleway at Madison Square Garden at the end of SummerSlam. Yeah, because Kane fought, I believe, Mankind on that show.
For me, I'm going to have to go Austin and Taker, just because, for lack of a better term, I remember that more. When it comes to Brock and Roman, 18 wasn't the forklift, right?
No, that was later on.
That's the more memorable Brock and Roman SummerSlam match to me.
Which we'll probably talk about here in a bit.
Right.
That was, yeah, the forklift one, that's the one where somebody, where a fan in the crowd actually got Brock to break.
Yeah, I believe that's 22 or 23.
I was going to say, it was post-COVID, it was Viking Brock look.
I think it was 23.
But
so you're going Taker Austin. What about you,
Tim? I'm going Taker Austin because it stands out more to me than Brock versus Roman in that version. Because it's one of those things of like, I looked these up, but I'm having a I'm having a problem remembering even what 18 was.
It was a Brock Roman match,
which, for all intents and purposes, really means I'm picking Austin versus Taker because we've seen Brock Roman, and it's.
Okay.
Not a lot to write about.
It's okay.
18 wasn't the steel cage match, was it?
No.
No. But it was ever had a steel cage. It was Brock versus Roman match number what?
Yes.
Between the two of them, right?
Correct.
Oh, yeah. This is the one where Braun threatened to cash in on whoever won.
Mm. So where are you going with, Tim?
It was a case of we're sick and tired of seeing these two guys go head-to-head with each other already. Enough is enough is enough is enough. Give us something. But on the other hand, you know, it's going up against Austin versus Taker. And the like Brent said, at the end of it, you're going, wait, what? Did that happen?
Right,
so yeah, you've already filled it in, but it's my pick.
Yeah, I figured that was your pick. So I was just getting head-to-head with King, I could see where this was going. The WWF Championship is on the line. The Rock, Kurt Angle, Triple H, SummerSlam 2000 versus the WWE Championship match between Edge and John Cena, SummerSlam 2006. Start with you on this one, Tim.
Trying to remember both of these matches.
So, to help you with the triple threat, that was with the involved Stephanie McMahon. Kurt Angle got concussed earlier, whatever, and was taken out of the match. So it was Rock and Hunter for a while, and then
Kurt came back. And
yeah, Stephanie encouraged him to go back. Go help Hunter.
Isn't this the one where Kurt was legitimately concussed and didn't know what the hell he was doing? That was that one.
Yeah.
And everybody thought at the time that, it's just part of the storyline.
Did Kurt carry Steph off at the end of this match, too?
I don't remember exactly, because he did carry off from some match. It might have been this one.
It was this one with him being...
But it was part of that. It was part of that story.
But you got that triple threat going up against another good match, Edge versus John Cena for the WWE Championship. I'm picking Edge versus John Cena on this one.
Right.
I'm going to go with the triple threat with Angle, Triple H, and The Rock, just because you had three really good people, plus you had the kind of added intrigue of what all happened. And to answer your question, yes, it is the one where Triple H accidentally knocked out Stephanie McMahon and Kurt carries her up the aisleway after while The Rock is celebrating. So
there you go. Edge and Cena have had great matches. I don't remember this one standing out as much as others, and they had. I remember all the details from Rock, Angle, Hunter. So to me, I remember more. We're going with that one. Move that one along. It is the WWF Championship Diesel versus King Mabel, 1995 SummerSlam, versus Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior taking on SGT Slaughter and General Anon and Colonel Mustafa, SummerSlam 1991.
I hate
you're
you,
killing
Rocky.
Me. Did you just say SGT Slaughter? You couldn't say Sergeant Slaughter?
Did you not see the joke on the internet, Tim?
Apparently not. What was the joke on
so
the internet?
So Tiffany Stratton in a video was going through, I think, cards or something, whatever it was.
She was doing an opening. She was doing one of those like card opening streams that they do with Tops.
And she just read it as SGT Slaughter, not knowing who it was.
Oh, Tiff.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Tiff.
That's why I went with the joke. All right.
So it was Tiffany having a blonde moment.
Correct. Or not knowing history of wrestling.
Same thing.
I mean, she could have said her favorite match was Alicia Fox versus who, Rock?
Melina, was it?
Melina. Right, Cameron will never live that down.
Oh, which one, Brent?
I'm gonna go Hogan and Warrior against the evil Iraq team, simply because I can't ever pick King Mabel as a good match. Like, tell me a match he was in as Viscera, as Mabel, as whatever, where you went, that was a good match.
This one,
the most famous thing he did was break Taker's face.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, Tim, what about you?
You got like the Ultimate Patriots versus the Ultimate Bad Guys. And there's a whole thing going on with the the Iraq War and all of this other stuff. And being Canadian and not an American, of course, it probably didn't mean as much up here. However, at the same time, conversely, it did. We did support the initial conflict. And everybody up here, there are a lot of people that weren't fans of the Ultimate Warrior or Hulk Hogan. It's just the way Canada is, and you know, it's bizarro land, and we cheer for whoever the hell we want. But in this case, because of the war, that match was a bigger deal in and of itself. It was by no means a superstar classic or anything like that, like a major fantastic match you're going to look back on with fond memories of absolutely incredible moves by anybody in the match. But that whole patriotic fervor thing is what kicked it up into a higher gear. It really did. And so, yeah, that's my pick.
It is the WWF Championship match, Shawn Michaels versus Vader, SummerSlam 1996, or No DQ, Triple H versus Brock Lesnar, SummerSlam 2012.
Shawn Vader, is this the one where Vader didn't move and Shawn had to stop it, like, literally in midair to keep from crushing Vader's skull?
Yes.
And then he got really pissed off and stiffed Vader a few times.
Correct.
That's the most memorable thing about that match is how bad Vader was.
This one also ended in count out, DQ, and then had the finish, which you talked about.
It was a cluster all the way around, and it was memorable for being subpar for SummerSlam. But the No DQ, you got Triple H versus Brock. Was this the one where Brock storyline broke Triple H's arm?
Yes.
With the Kimura, right?
Yep. And this is where he had Hunter tap in the finish.
Yeah. That was this was a really good match, and Hunter was just like outpowered all the way through. But if I remember correctly, and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, the whole selling point for this match was Triple H refused to give up, even though he was outmatched. And it took a storyline broken arm for him to tap.
Yes.
Pretty much.
It's a given. This is the winner.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to go with this one that had a really good kind of build to it. And I kind of liked the end where it's like Hunter essentially had his arm broken. And as he's walking away, he's telling everyone, like, I'm sorry. Like, he couldn't do it, and he had to kind of step away. I thought that was good. Again, it made Brock look more like a predator at the time when they were really hyping him up as such.
Because this was his first SummerSlam back since returning to the company earlier that year.
And they had a really good storyline with him and Triple H in terms of, like, you were invested to watch what happened because of the interactions they had and Brock putting the Kimura on him and, you know, quote-unquote, snapping his arm.
All right, is The Undertaker versus The Undertaker at SummerSlam 1994 taking on the undisputed WWE Universal Championship Tribal Combat, Roman Reigns, Jey Uso, SummerSlam 23.
Go for it, Brent.
This is bad on two different levels. I mean, one of them was the fact of you had the actual Undertaker versus Brian Lee, who, if you looked really closely, was definitely not the Undertaker and didn't really have the same overall as Undertaker.
Yeah.
It was more a spectacle than you know, like, a good match. Unfortunately, it's going up against Roman Reigns versus Jey Uso, which I really liked the emotion of Jey Uso in the Bloodline storyline with, you know, him breaking away and him facing Roman for Tribal Combat to want to take over as the Tribal Chief. But man, Jey is still limited. This very much was spear, super kick, spear, Superman punch.
And weapons.
And weapons thrown in to, you know, help with the bells and whistles. I guess, for lack of a better choice, I'm gonna go with the Universal Championship match just because Taker versus Taker, as I said, the biggest thing about it was, okay, you had two Takers in the ring, but as soon as stuff started, you were like, there's one real one. We can see it. He has the moveset. The other guy is treading water right now. So I'm gonna, the nostalgia in me kind of cheesily wants to choose the Undertakers, but I just can't. I can't in this situation.
Okay. Tim.
Going matchup to matchup, it's Tribal Combat. But if you're going spectacle versus spectacle, the promise of real Undertaker taking on fake Undertaker, the match, the whole thing, never came close to living up to the potential hype. Brent said it was spectacle, and it's memorable for what it promised and didn't deliver. So, in a perverse way, I could see how this one would get voted for, and I would probably figure, yeah, it's understandable that you're choosing this one, but I simply fucking can't. I watched that match. Nope.
There you go. All right, it's the WWE Championship, John Cena, Daniel Bryan, SummerSlam 2013, or the World's Heavyweight Championship, Gunther, CM Punk, SummerSlam 2025.
With Bryan? The Seth cash-in.
With the cash-in.
For the overall match, I'm going to go Cena, Bryan.
Didn't this one have Del Rio? I think this is, or Orton. This one had one of the, this had Orton, I think, cashing in.
Let me see.
If I remember correctly.
Because I want to, I think this Cena is, had I the think elbow. This is Orton, because I think what happened was, yeah, you had Cena take on Bryan, Bryan won, Triple H was the referee, he raises Daniel's hand, and then immediately, like, well, Orton pops out, and then it's kick, pedigree, Orton slides, like, slowly slides in, 1, 2, 3, over, Orton gets the win.
Yeah, because Cena, I think, had an elbow issue coming into the match. Yeah.
Yeah, so you had essentially a Money in the Bank cash-in, or, like, a cash-in, in a sense, on both sides. Seth was the wool being pulled over our eyes of, oh shit, he's actually back. But I'll give the bigger swerve and the bigger match to Bryan Cena. Punk Gunther wasn't bad.
It was pretty good.
It was pretty good. But I think Bryan and Cena put together a better match, and then they had the shenanigans at the, you know, post-match. That
overall, the overall overarching story being told with Cena, Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. Rock, wasn't Del Rio Money in the Bank instead?
No, Del Rio was another SummerSlam, which we'll talk about in a bit, because it was when Nash came back, did the powerbomb. Hunter was right. The ref. Yeah. All right, so you're right, both going You're going Daniel Bryan, John Cena. Tim, you're going...
Daniel Bryan, John Cena.
All right. That officially takes us to a full round two.
Hey. Wow.
Because now we have all the... now we're at the round of 32.
All right, 16 matchups. Here we go.
Team WWE versus the Nexus, SummerSlam 2010, or the Brock Lesnar-Randy Orton match, SummerSlam 2016.
Okay, now these are both real big spectacles. In different ways.
In different ways.
You know what would have really helped WWE versus the Nexus? If the Nexus had fucking won! But we all know what happened. We all saw it happen. I still liked the 7-on-7 match. Because it, going in, it had way too much drama involved with the fact of, like, you know, Bret Hart's involved, but he can't really compete much. You had Edge and Jericho, who didn't want to be on the team, but they were begrudgingly doing it because of the Nexus. And, you know, threatened to walk away, but they came back. Then you had the mystery seventh spot that turned out, of course, to be Daniel Bryan in the big swerve because, oh, we're going to ask The Miz. The Miz is going to hold us up. He comes out at SummerSlam. Oh, I'm going to do it now. And Cena's like, nah, screw it. We already found our seventh man, and it's the guy who got fired. And you saw Daniel Bryan come in with a house of fire, and it was kind of like, ah, so this is what this guy can do. All in all, good match. Just, again, should have had the different finish just to really help things out. But this was during the Super Cena era, so we all know backstage they wanted something else, so they pushed it. Brock and Randy, we talked about it before. It is just that amazing spectacle of, holy shit, did we watch one guy mug the other? But
that was worse than a mugging. Come on.
Oh, it was it was attempted murder in the ring.
It was out and out assault.
But I think in terms of the overall match, I liked the kind of ups and downs and everything we got with WWE versus Nexus a little bit more.
So which one you go with? Nexus?
Yeah, 7-on-7.
Okay. Tim, what about you?
Yeah, I was, right from the outset, not a fan at all of the Nexus storyline. I could never get into it, and I just simply did not enjoy it. Now, here's the caveat. That's the personal choice. I know it was very popular, and, you know, people liked it, but, you know, there are, believe it or not, 50 people on the planet who didn't like the Avengers Endgame. So what are you going to do? However, and Brent said this was right in the middle of Super Cena, with an agenda that WWE had. And the 7-on-7, begrudgingly, I'm admitting, was a very good match.
Uh-huh.
And as much as seeing one guy kick the ever-living fuck out of another guy, splitting him open, and essentially, like, destroying him, is always fun. Yeah, by the thinnest, I'm edging towards Team WWE versus Nexus.
It is CM Punk versus John Cena WWE Championship SummerSlam 2011. I believe that's the Del Rio. Versus Hell in a Cell, Edge versus The Undertaker, 2008.
Taker. Oh my god, it's Undertaker, Taker.
All right, that's one for Taker. Right?
I'm going to go with Summer of Punk, though again, it's one of those where it's like, don't know if it was the right call to do what they did. But I think this had the investment of people because of what happened at Money in the Bank, what happened with CM Punk, quote-unquote, leaving, and then you had the tournament to crown a new champion, which eventually, and this is all in air quotes, Cena won. Technically, it was Rey Mysterio. But Cena won, and then set this back up as the rematch from Money in the Bank.
I'm going to go Hell in a Cell, I think, because Punk Cena was better at Money in the Bank than it was at SummerSlam.
Fair.
Brutus the Barber, Beefcake, and Hulk Hogan take on Randy Savage and Zeus from 89. Or the Elimination Chamber for the World Heavyweight Championship, Triple H, Chris Jericho, Kevin Nash, Goldberg, Randy Orton, and the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, 2003.
This is the one where Goldberg should have won, but Triple H won, right?
Correct. This also featured Kevin Nash blonde hair. Buzzkill.
Oh, God.
Because he was going to film a movie. So on
this was Punisher.
That was the Punisher, yeah.
Jericho cut his hair that Monday on Raw, and he showed up blonde and then buzz cut on SummerSlam.
And then went to go and fight against Thomas Jane and get stabbed for real with the real knife because they forgot to swap it out for the prop.
Yep.
And still finished the scene without breaking. Wow.
Also, one important question. Was this Brown Pants HBK?
No, that was the first Elimination Chamber at Survivor.
That was first. Okay. The nostalgia in me is really taking over on this. I'm going to go Beefcake and Hogan versus Savage and Zeus. It's not a great match. It is absolute spectacle. Zeus did not really have any training, and it was no holds barred in the ring. But there's something just so corny about it, and it takes me back to a kid watching and just being enamored with what happened.
Without Googling or looking it up or anything like that, you've got a second and a half to answer who played Zeus.
It was Tiny Lister.
There you go.
I absolutely know who Zeus or the Gangsta is.
And what was the superhero movie that we saw him in?
Superhero. I don't remember that. I remember him being Debo from Friday.
You don't remember the superhero movie? He was a convict in The Dark Knight that talked the guy into giving up.
He chucked the detonator out the window.
Yep.
I thought you meant like him as a superhero. I was thinking like he wasn't.
No, he was in a superhero movie.
Right.
I didn't say he was a superhero in a movie.
All right, Tim, what are you going with?
I remember not liking that match. Of course, which I didn't like the movie No Holds Barred, and that's where Zeus came from. Mm-hmm. The Elimination Chamber, anytime you have something that kind of a gimmick, where you've got multiple people fighting each other inside a painful confine, and any kind of chaos could happen, it's always fun. And for me, I enjoyed that one more.
Hunter worked and it led
to my favorite Punisher movie of all the Punisher movies.
Hunter worked that one, I think, with bad quads. Shocking, I know. And he's wearing like shorts under his tights.
Yeah.
So it was kind of weird on that one. But yeah, I'm with Tim. Spectacle is bigger with the chamber match over whatever the Zeus Savage thing was. All right. It is John Cena, Brock Lesnar for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. SummerSlam 2014, which is Suplex City. Taking on the the Universal Championship, Brock Lesnar, Braun Strowman, Roman Reigns, Samoa Joe, 2017. I think this is a clear runaway winner.
Suplex City, clap, 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 clap.
The thing that gets me about that match at the time was how hated it was, because all it was suplex after suplex after suplex. I'm sitting here, fuck, this is great. You're destroying this guy with one fucking move, and he's got no response. How better and more simply can you tell the story you want to tell?
See, I loved it because we were in the era of Super Cena.
Yep.
It's towards the tail end of it, but like we're so used to Cena being able to overcome, and you had this match, which I need to look up how long. I think it was, what, like 12 minutes or so? It was a decent It was a decent length, but it was all Brock annihilation.
It was like 10 or 12, yeah.
Yeah, and Cena just had no answer. He just got decimated. And you're watching in the crowd, and again, like I talked about with Randy Orton and Brock, it felt slightly uncomfortable watching this happen. And I think it kind of short-circuited a lot of people's mind of like, but wait, Cena's supposed to kick out, and he's just getting thrown around like a rag doll. And you're just like, how's this happening?
this ranks right up there as far as shocking the crowd moments as Undertaker being beaten for the first time at WrestleMania. You stop and you think about it, and you've been pointing it out, Brent. It's like, wait, he's supposed to kick out. He's getting his ass kicked. What's going on?
Well, and it's also because we watched Cena take Brock on before at Extreme Rules. And don't get me wrong, Brock was very much in charge in that match, too. But ultimately, what happened? Well, Cena won.
when it first started out, the rivalry between these two, it was Cena was the only one who could stand up to Brock.
Right.
And as the years went by, that tide slowly, you know, went out.
Well, and some of that was, as we talked about earlier, because this is from 14. At SummerSlam 13, we watched Brock take out Triple H and break his arm. And it was kind of like, oh, okay, yeah, he is kind of a killer. And then he comes in against Cena and eviscerates him, and it's, oh, shit, okay, yeah, Brock is a beast. It's not just a nickname, it is legit.
Yep.
So, yeah, just... For me, it's watching John Cena get just absolutely handled there. And as I said, kind of short-circuiting your mind of, wow, we're not used to this. Huh. Okay, then.
So, Suplex City.
Suplex City.
All right. And,
Rod, can you go in there and edit it? Just forget the title. Just type in Suplex City.
WWF Championship, Yokozuna, Lex Luger, SummerSlam 93. Or the Steve Austin Undertaker match, SummerSlam 98 for the WWF title.
I'm going Stone Cold versus Undertaker for one simple reason. They fucked up the most. This showed you the fact that WWE lost all faith and interest in Lex Luger. You had the man set up to replace Hulk Hogan as the top number one U.S. babyface carry the company kind of role. And they get to this match, and he wins by countout due to the bionic forearm, and yet they celebrate him in the ring with balloons and everything like he won the goddamn championship. It is the most awkward and, as I said, makes you realize at that moment Lex Luger was never going to be the guy.
And surprisingly, he then won the Royal Rumble the next year.
Well, they tied the...
Tied the Rumble, but you know.
But it, even when he did that, you still kind of felt like he's not going to get it.
Tim,
I may not be quite so passionate about it as Brent is, but yeah, for me, it's Austin Taker.
The Intercontinental Championship's on the line: Bret Hart versus the British Bulldog, SummerSlam 1992, or the Universal Championship, Brock Lesnar, Seth Rollins, SummerSlam 2019.
I'm going to defer to someone on this one. Tim, you go first.
You're going to defer to the Canadian to talk about the Canadian and the British Canadian first.
In the UK. Go.
In the UK. Look, okay, the IC title match in Wembley in front of, what, 93,000 people. That was an absolutely huge story. And the thing that elevated this match for me in recent times was finding out the details that we didn't know for decades. Davey was working on overcoming yet another relapse into his addictions. And Brett was doing his absolute damnedest to help straighten Davey up. And the two of them, because of Davey Boy avoiding Brett the entire time, basically could only literally hotshot this entire match in the ring. And they delivered an absolute classic, and then some. And it hits a little close to home me because of the relationship I had with Davey Boy Smith. And I don't know what else I can add without it being a little bit too, you know, getting a little more personal than I should with it. You're putting that match up against Brock Lesnar versus Seth Rollins. In 2019. Don't want to take away from that match. Absolutely great time. But the IC title match is my pick. End of the day.
Brand.
This was... So, Brock and Seth was during Seth's, like, King Slayer / Beast Slayer run. This was the redemption after Brock took the title from him. After the mixed tag, right, Rock?
I believe so.
So this is Seth getting the comeuppance on Brock, getting the victory against him. To me, I'm going to go, though, with Davey Boy versus Brett. Because Wembley, because of the location and all that's kind of involved with the fact of, like, having one of these big shows in an area outside of the U.S. carries a little bit more weight, especially back then. You were kind of like, ooh, this is big. And Davey got the main event in his home country. Also, I think it's important to note the fact of, like, the IC title main evented, not the world title, which we're all used to by at this point. Your secondary belt is the one that got the shine on this show because of who was fighting and where it was. Plus, it's a damn good match. I'll give it credit. So I'll say Brett Davey.
Undisputed WWE Championship Bloodline Rules, Cody Rhodes, Solo Sikoa, 2024. WWF Championship Rock, Angle, Triple H, 2000. Brent?
Triple Threat. Triple Threat, just because Cody and Solo in Bloodline Rules, this was the return of Roman, I believe, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. Some of these matches, it's one of those things where it's like the ending is what kind of solidifies or takes away. And for this, like, it was cool to see Roman Reigns come back. It was cool to see, like, after WrestleMania and the turn hit, and now it became essentially Bloodline versus Bloodline. We had the Civil War. But it's also that element of, like, again, this was the moment when you realized Solo Sikoa was not going to be anywhere near the guy. This match was set up so that Roman could come back and turn on him. He wasn't going to win. With the Triple Threat, we talked about it before, but it's like there was a lot of intrigue going in because you had the triangle between Hunter and Steph and Kurt, and you had The Rock there. So you have a lot of big names all coming together in the main event of SummerSlam for that match and kind of the interplay that happened during the match. So I'm going to go Triple Threat.
Tim?
I'm making up for my previous vote on this one, and I'll go with the Triple Threat.
Triple Threat moves on. It is the World Championship, Chris Benoit, Randy Orton, 04. Undisputed WWE Universal Championship, Last Man Standing, Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, Forklift, SummerSlam, 2022.
I'm going the Forklift, because this was the most entertaining Brock and Roman match. This is one of those where it was like, we've seen them fight a million times, but at least with this one, with Farmer Brock coming out, you were like, I'm kind of invested in this one. I want to see where this goes. Because we were also so used to Brock being the heel that it's like we finally got him and Roman was the bad guy and Brock was the good guy. And you're kind of like, oh, all right, let's see how this goes. And it was actually entertaining.
Yeah, it was. Tim, what about you?
It was entertaining, but at the same time, you've got He Who Shall Not Be Mentioned taking on Randy Orton. All right, I'm going Last Man Standing just because the fan made Brock break near the end of it, if for no other reason.
It is WWF Championship, The Undertaker, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels as referee, SummerSlam 1997 versus Hogan Warrior versus Sergeant Slaughter and crew from SummerSlam 1991.
Taker versus Bret with Shawn as a special guest referee. Massive, huge, incredible two different storylines going on at the same time in this match alone. And this entire year, 1997, was the lead up to the screw job.
If Bret didn't win, he would never wrestle in the United States ever again. And if Shawn was not impartial, he would also never wrestle in the United States again, or something to that effect.
Shawn was never allowed to wrestle in Canada, wasn't it?
No, I think it was U.S. as well, because that was the whole deal that was going on.
Because Bret was a babyface everywhere in the world, but a heel in the States, and it was kind of interesting that they were able to pull that off, and it worked. I didn't think it was going to. I have to admit I was surprised that it did. Just the whole thing about it, and the look on Shawn's face when he had to count three for Bret's victory. Just the whole thing. It beats the nostalgia run from 91.
Brent?
Yeah, for me, it all comes down to the spit, the chair shot, and as Tim talked about, you saw that. Give Shawn credit, like, when he didn't sell. If he wanted to sell, he could over it. But there are certain moments like End of an Era and this where it's like it just fit exactly what he did. And so when he had to sit there and look at Bret Hart in the face and count the three and you could tell it just ate him up inside to hit those, you know, to hit his hand onto the mat three times, but he had to do it. It sells that moment even more. And just everything that went into that match was really good. The 91 match, it fit the time really well, but I don't know if it has the bigger moment / lasting effect as Taker Brett with Sean as the referee.
So I believe Brett spit at Sean. Sean had the chair. Sean swings. Brett ducks, hits Undertaker,
Taker's out.
Exactly.
All right. It was tables, letters, and chairs. Jeff Hardy, CM Punk for the World Championship, SummerSlam 2009, or The Rock versus Brock Lesnar, SummerSlam 2002 for the Undisputed Championship.
This one was The Rock literally passing the torch to Brock.
Yeah, this is Brock's coronation.
Yeah, essentially. To tell you the truth, I think the TLC match was better, but I'm not choosing it because it was the coronation, literally, of the Beast.
Right.
It was the right moment. It was the call to make him the youngest champion at the time, and it legitimately made him the next big thing as he was touted. So
there you go. Speaking of Brock Lesnar, he took on The Undertaker at SummerSlam 2015, which was the meme setup, or the No DQ Triple H Brock Lesnar SummerSlam 2012.
So Lesnar Taker was, this is the one where Brock passed out with the middle finger, right?
I believe so. But all I remember from it was the meme setup.
Yeah, and that was after the low blow by Taker. Taker was like losing the match until then.
Yeah. So which one, Brandon, but, or Tim? One of you.
Tim, go first.
Well, I was going to say this one was Taker's revenge from WrestleMania, because this is the same year that Taker had lost for the first time ever.
No, it was a year. It was a year and it was a year and a half later.
Oh, okay. I thought it was the same year.
No, because Taker was off for the entire year after he lost at 30, came back, fought Bray at 31, and then did this match with Brock.
Right. Okay. I'm just getting some things mixed up here because the kids are up front playing soccer and banging it up against my living room window here. That's my excuse, and I'm sticking with it.
So you're going to go, old man, get off my lawn here in a second? Is that what you're saying?
No, I like the kids. They're good kids. And it's not my window, really. I just rent, so I don't have to worry about paying it.
So which one are you going with? Brock, Taker? Take it.
That's a tough one. It's just too bad that these two matches are going head-to-head this far in. Or only in round two, rather. Yeah, Taker Lesnar.
Rips.
I'm gonna go meme sit up.
And I just watched. It is the finger pass out.
There you go. Alright. It is Roman Reigns, John Cena 2021 for the Universal Championship or the WWF Championship. From 1999, Steve Austin, Mankind, Triple H. So Brent, what do you think?
Reigns Cena was alright. It's the John Cena surprise return.
Surprise return, and he was all about, all I need to do is pin you. 1, 2, 3. Crowd was hyped. Mm-hmm.
Right. And he starts off by like doing a quick roll up, and Roman's like shocked because Cena's doing the 1, 2, 3. That's all I need.
That's all I need. That was the build.
Right. That was one of those moments where it's like we heard the scene, you know, we heard the trumpets hit, and for once the crowd like unabashedly went ape shit.
Yeah.
Because it was during the height of the Roman Empire, and it was just like, oh, wait, we get Cena? Okay.
Yeah.
And if I remember correctly, it's when Michael Cole hit puberty when John Cena walked out.
Sure did.
His voice cracked. Like, oh, my God.
Funny.
That one was good, but I think I might have to go Austin Mankind Triple H from 99.
Which had Jesse Ventura as the referee. Everyone thought Triple H was going to win this match. He did not. Mankind won. And then in talk about people getting upset about title changes, that Mankind would lose the title one day later on Monday Night Raw to Triple H. And they kind of wrote Steve Austin off for a couple months.
So not 9 days later, but one day?
It was legit 24 hours later. Tim, yeah, what are you going with?
One thing I want to know is how could people not see that Sammy was only being used as a transition to take the belt off one baby face and put it on the other. I mean, come on, you guys. Smarten up.
Everyone knew. It doesn't mean they wanted it.
But yeah, I get it. But at least, you know, Sammy finally got that belt. That's good enough. But back to being on point here. It's for me, it's a triple threat.
Hogan, Michaels, 05. Tribal Combat, Roman, Uso, 23.
Refresh my memory again. This was the oversell, right?
Yes, it was because it was the one and only time, brother.
Yeah, and this was the one where I have never seen Terry Bollea so pissed off. Not Hulk Hogan, but Terry Bollea so pissed off in his entire life. I mean, he was more pissed off at Sean here than he was pissed off at what's his name in WCW when they did that New Blood bullshit thing with the. With the improvised promo by Russo. What's his name? Russo. That's it.
The Beach 2000, which happened last week.
Yep. You learn about on CB Radio.
Yep. This week in wrestling history.
All right. What are you going with, Tim?
I'm going with the oversell. I mean, I have never been more entertained by a Shawn Michaels or a Hulk Hogan match in my life.
All right. One for brother, Brent.
As a match, it shouldn't be given the kind of attention it was because it was so comedically overdone by Shawn Michaels because he didn't want to go heel, but he had to for this match.
No, there was more to it than that.
There was supposed to be more matches to follow, and Hogan was like, "Nah,
nope, I'm getting my win, and that's it." And so Shawn's like, "All right, fuck this." You want this win? You can have it in the most overdone way possible. And as Tim said, Hogan realized very quickly that that's what Sean was doing, and he's just like, fuck this.
Well, Sean got in trouble for that afterwards, but that lasted all of one day.
24 hours, yeah.
Yeah. But...
because he was right!
I hate to say it, it's one of those things, like, if this match was up against, like, Lesnar-Cena... or, you know, some of the other SummerSlam main events, I might be more inclined. But Tribal Combat, Jay and Roman versus this, I'm going to give this to Hogan and Michaels just because all around it's more of a spectacle, and it's just like, you watch it and you're entertained by just how awkward it is.
Yeah. All right. It's the WCW Championship, Booker T versus The Rock, 2001. With the Undisputed WWE Championship Street Fight, John Cena, Cody Rhodes, SummerSlam 2025. Tim?
Well, normally I give it to Booker T versus The Rock, but this was John Cena's last go-round for SummerSlam.
And it was WrestleMania. It was the make-good from WrestleMania.
Yeah.
This was the match that Mania should have been.
Yeah.
Yes. I can't disagree with you on that one.
So, Cody, right?
I'm going Cody Cena because it was one of those things of, yeah, we thought Cody was going to win at SummerSlam. We've had heel Cena for a while, and then it was the night before we had that Cena promo where he basically said, yeah, fuck this heel turn. Mea culpa. We should just go out there and burn, you know, tear the house down. And then they went in there and tore the freaking house down with that match. And it was legitimately good in terms of, like, we got the two of them going, you know, pillar to post, and there was that one brief moment where Cena comes up the Cody Vader, and he has that look on his face, and you go, wait, did we just get duped? Like, is he legitimately going to be heel here and fuck with us? No, he stuck with it, and Cody won, and then we got face Cena for the rest of the run, and overall, the match was good. It's what Mania should have been. Between these two.
There you go. It is Mega Bucks versus Mega Power SummerSlam 88 or John Cena Daniel Bryan SummerSlam 2013 for the WWE title.
Cena Bryan. I love me some nostalgia, but I'm going the better match.
Tim?
Yeah. Cena Bryan.
And finally, the WWF Championship Ultimate Warrior versus Rick Rouge SummerSlam 90 or Falls Count Anywhere WWE Universal Championship. Braun Strowman, Bray Wyatt, Thunderdome 2020.
Return of Roman Reigns.
Yes.
God, you have this is going to sound horrible. You have two like middling wrestlers in either of these matches. Not mm-hmm. Well, you have one middling wrestler in either of these matches between Braun Strowman, because Bray could actually carry, and you had Ultimate Warrior, and Rick Rude could carry. This is kind of the build up from the whole like pose off and Rude hitting him with the flex thing, right?
I believe
the who had the better body, and then Rude beat him with the equipment. And yeah,
all that jazz. Yeah,
I'm gonna give this to Rude and Warrior over Strowman and Wyatt. Don't get me wrong, enjoy the Fiend and Braun, but that was all done for the fact of we're gonna have Roman Reigns return from leukemia, and we got the kickoff of the Tribal Chief.
Yes, Tim.
I'm picking the same as Brent there.
There you go. Due to time restraints, we're gonna stop there and come back at some point and finish this off.
Cool.
So that is WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network Twilight. Raw post show. When it ends, we talk about it. Thursday night, we talk about Saturday night's main event on the rack, 10 p.m. Eastern. Check out our review of College Football 27, now available from last week's episode at RackRadioShow.com. Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, another edition of CB Radio. We'll be back next Sunday night to build a SummerSlam. Just like we built a WrestleMania, we're building a SummerSlam next Sunday on WTR Sunday night. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. At WTR Sunday night. Tim.
Yeah, I guess this is where I promote my socials. Find me on X at Flames Forums, because why not? Hey, I post pretty much practically every day multiple times. I'm worth the follow, damn it!
Brent?
I don't know if I'm worth a follow, but you can, if you want to see what I have to say, tune in to X/Twitter, Threads, Blue Sky, Instagram, at either Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens. I have opinions, I make friends, I have thoughts about WWE, AEW, other things. So, there we go.
Chad, if you have Amazon Prime, link to Twitch account. It's not Twitch Prime. It's not Prime Gaming. It's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. You can use credit code RocketSock in the Fortnite app shop when you buy Summer Batman. Hashtag Epic Partner. We'll see you next Sunday night. Tim, send us home.
That's it, everybody. I hope that you had fun listening to us tonight. Don't forget we're back next Sunday night. Between now and then, go and touch grass. Talk to you.
WildTalkRadio.com.